Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Spectrum Reality. In my last episode, I talked about small steps, big achievements. I talked about hygiene, self-care, and puberty, and how the smallest steps towards self-care are big achievements for people living with autism spectrum disorder. In this episode, I will talk about death and the passing of a loved one. I will talk about our personal experience of losing a loved one and how it has affected Amelia as she tries to understand why death occurs and what happens after a loved one has died. So let's get started. Recently, one of our family members, a loved one, Amelia's grandparent, passed away from old age. To a typical neurologically developed person and for adults, we have a certain level of understanding about life and death, knowing that all people are born, they live, and die. For children, this concept of death can be harder to understand, especially when it is the first time they experience death. But with support and having conversations around death, it can help children understand why death happens and why certain circumstances surrounding death occur, such as dying of old age. They begin to learn that it is a natural part of life. But for children on the spectrum, this concept can be more difficult, and the process can take longer for them to understand. And I have found this to be true with Amelia, because this is her first experience with death. It has been difficult trying to help Amelia understand why her grandparent is no longer with us. It is something that even after a number of months, she is still asking many questions about and talks as if her grandparent is still alive. Questions such as, when are we going to see Grandpa again? Where is Grandpa? Can we go and see Grandpa now? Why is Grandpa dead? And for Amelia, her natural way to process any information is through repetition and asking many questions over and over because she needs to hear the same answers many times to get that level of understanding. So when she is asking me over and over again the same questions, I constantly remind myself that the concept of death is going to be something that Amelia will need a lot of time to process and to have patience and give her that time to understand death. I also need to understand that death is a concept that she may not fully understand until she has a certain level of maturity in her cognitive development. For Amelia, there were many confusing parts that led up to the passing of her grandfather. Firstly, her recognizing her grandfather was behaving differently, and secondly, around the care of her grandfather before his death. And because these circumstances changed very quickly, Amelia still struggles with what happened. She struggled with trying to firstly understand why Grandpa didn't live in his house anymore with her Nana, why he started living in a place that to her was like a hospital, and why he doesn't talk to her anymore or give her any attention. And then finally, after he died, why he isn't here anymore. Even though we as adults and even her older sister could understand what was happening, it was really hard for Amelia to understand. The time we visited her grandfather in the aged care facility was a very uncomfortable situation for Amelia to experience. And it wouldn't take long for me or my husband to have to take her outside because she became extremely overwhelmed and have an emotional meltdown. And as she was trying to come to terms with this and get used to the situation of her grandfather living in an aged care home, it wasn't very long that he moved into the aged care facility that her grandfather died. So she really didn't have time to get used to the first change of her grandfather living in an aged care home and then the second incident of him passing away and needing to understand where her grandpa has gone. For ASD children, majority of them rely on routine of behaviors and routine of daily living. This includes what happens from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep. And their routine includes the people they regularly see, such as family members, friends, teachers, support teachers, school staff, specialists, and therapists, and even just the same people they see at their local supermarket or butcher shop. So when their routine changes dramatically, it is very hard for ASD children to cope with the new and unexpected change. And it takes time for them to accept this change in the routine, which can result in anxiety, emotional meltdowns and outbursts, and changes in their behavior. They need this transitional time to come to terms with the new normal. They also see and hear what their family members are experiencing after the death of a loved one. The sadness and the changes in the behavior they are observing from their parents, siblings, and extended family members. Also, being around everyone attending the funeral and the wake can be extremely overwhelming for children with autism. And And in Amelia's case, this was very true. Because it was sudden, as death is in most cases, Amelia found it hard to cope with what was happening around her. Firstly, because her school routine was disrupted, as we had to pull her out of school for a week. And secondly, because we had to travel and stay in a hotel. And most of the time when we have to travel to see her grandparents, it is usually a happy event and a holiday that is spent at the beach and having fun. But because it was not this type of trip, and the experience and environment around her was filled with her family crying and changing their emotions from laughing and even reacting with frustration and anger, it was a lot of emotions that Amelia was observing and taking in, and she found it really hard to cope and understand. Seeing her family being upset was difficult for her, and it was also difficult because she was also trying to understand her own emotions to the point where her behavior became quite erratic. One moment she would be crying and sad for the loss of her grandfather, then she would be really silly and display a lot of stimming, and she would need a lot of reassurance about everything that was happening during the day, including times the funeral would start, or when we were going to eat lunch, to what time we were going to bed, and especially when we were going to go home. Her psychologist told me that this would be a normal reaction from Amelia, given the circumstances, and to allow her to go through the emotions, giving her all the time that she needs. On the day of the funeral, because it was difficult for Amelia to cope with the situation, she became overwhelmed and anxious. Her behavior was erratic, and her moves would change from being overly excited to being upset and having a meltdown. We decided it would be best for me to stay at the hotel with Amelia and watch the funeral that was being live streamed for family and friends that could not make it to the funeral. I was glad that we stayed behind because it allowed her time and the comfort of being in her own surroundings to express her feelings in her own way. There would be moments she would sit and watch the funeral and cry, but not understand why she was crying, because she would ask, "Why am I sad?" And there would be moments when it became so overwhelming that she would run to her room and lie in bed with the blanket over her head. This was her way of dealing with an emotion she had never experienced before. Everyone understood why Amelia and I did not attend the funeral, because they could see firsthand at the wake Amelia was struggling with the situation and how she was becoming overwhelmed all the time and just wanted to go home. So we spent a lot of time outside walking around the gardens and the parking lot, then finally explained that we needed to leave. And it was really good to see the support from her family, because they knew and understood that what she was going through was very stressful for her. Because this experience with Amelia was new to us and new to Amelia, I found myself at a loss of how to approach her and what I should say when she asks the question about death. As parents and carers, we try to shield our children from the sadness and pain, so we kind of not speak the truth and, in a word, sugarcoat the reality of what death really means. In situations like this, I tend to lean on outside support and get as much information from therapists, websites, and books as I can. Autism Spectrum Australia has some great suggestions on how to help support a child with autism understand and cope with loss. They also provide a lot of information around death and how it affects people on the spectrum differently. It talks of what to expect from children with autism and the best way to support and understand their reaction and behaviour when death occurs. It also emphasises a clear message to speak openly about death. Try to explain what actually happens and use very clear words, such as their body has stopped working or they don't eat or sleep anymore. Even if it sounds a little morbid, it is actually helpful because children on the spectrum are quite literal. And when we use words like they've gone to sleep and they're not waking up, or they went to hospital and they're not coming back, it can potentially cause fear and anxiety around sleeping and fear of hospitals. So it suggests to talk about death and what death means to the body, and that when people pass away, they are no longer living here with us. It also recommends to not be worried if children on the spectrum become very interested in what happens when people die, especially if they are asking and wanting details around death. It's just their way of trying to understand fully what death means. The website also suggests, when explaining death to a child on the spectrum, that it helps if it comes from an individual that is close to them and understands their personal sensitivities and behaviours, such as a parent or family member or a carer. Autism Speaks, which is another great website, also has a page called Grief and Bereavement Resources, which talks about a number of different circumstances surrounding disaster and death, and lists a number of websites to help support and provide information to people on the spectrum. Because as we know, death can happen suddenly in different ways at any time, not just by dying from old age. The website provides different information regarding different circumstances surrounding death. One resource I viewed was called the Friendship Circle, and it talks about a person's personal experience they had with their autistic son during the death of a loved one. It then continued to give advice on ways to help and support an autistic person cope with the death of a loved one. One thing that resonated with me was the website mentioned to talk openly about my personal feelings about death and how I feel sad and cry because I miss my loved one, and that it's normal to feel this way and it's okay to feel the way you feel when this happens. Watching people's personal experience from the website, The Family Circle, reminded me, as hard as it is, to try and not shield Amelia from death, because even though they may react differently compared to a typically neurologically developed person, they still have a sense of emotions around death. It is also important to allow them to grieve in their own way if they want to be alone all the time and find places to hide away from everyone. I also searched for books and social stories to try and help Amelia understand death and her feelings around death. A number of books that were suggested to me by her psychologist was I Miss You by Pat Thomas, I Do Always by Karen Lewis, The Memory Box by Joanna Rowland, and Something Very Sad Happened by Bonnie Zucker. They provided many different ways and situations surrounding death and how to cope with your emotions when facing such a situation. Another great book I found online through the therapy store is a book specifically written for children with ASD and special needs called I Have a Question About Death. And what was great about this book is there's two parts to it. One is the story with the main character asking questions about death and the book providing answers to those questions. And the second part of the book is a short picture story about death. Both stories are really visual with simple language and they are honest and real about what death means. Amelia tended to like the short story book better because she is such a visual learner, and because of her developmental delay in speech and language, she found it easier to understand the very simple and clear language with a visual aid to help. It also was helpful for Amelia that I explained the situation to her therapist and teachers about the passing of Amelia's grandparent. I found that any support provided to Amelia would be helpful for her, and just to make them aware of any repetition in questions she might be asking about death and why they may be seeing changes in her mood and behaviours. It is always helpful for me to know that when these situations occur, I'm not alone, and there is so much support and information out there to help me and my family get through it. It has been a number of months since her grandfather passed away, and Amelia is still asking questions about him, like, where is he and what has happened to Grandpa? She still talks about the funeral and the wake and needs to know the details about the funeral, what time it started, what time it finished, who was there, and why did we have a funeral. I found that talking openly and honestly about the passing of her grandfather has helped her have a somewhat clear understanding about death. The main message that I try to tell her is that it's okay to feel what you are feeling, and you can ask me as many questions as you like. Death is difficult for everyone to experience, but for children on the spectrum, it is even harder. And again, for most people, there comes a certain level of maturity understanding about death. But if you have a child with a developmental delay, it may take some time for that level of understanding to become clear. Thank you for listening and sharing this journey with me. Please join me for the next episode as I talk about what it means to have autistic fatigue. See you next time.